So anyway, we're just continuing on our conversation. What were you like as a kid?
So in third grade, I dressed as a leprechaun for St. Patrick's Day, and my mom let me, which is like, she definitely let me explore my creativity, but I just specifically third grade. I remember I dressed as a leprechaun. I hung my feet out the car window because seatbelts weren't required then. I held my feet out the car window so that everyone would think my mom had caught a leprechaun. I also wore this sweater that had a cow on it with an actual cowbell. So everywhere I walked, it like rang. I was just very loud.
So in other words, you hid in libraries at all times because you didn't want to get attention.
Totally. I hated attention.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, as I said last week, personality can have its great power and pitfalls. And I'm sure you've probably run into both. I mean, I can see the power coming at me 24/7 on anything you do. And it's wonderful because having met you, I get you the same way that anybody who meets you does, which is, oh, this is not an act. This is not some kind of sham. This is not some type of hyped up sales persona. This is who she is. And the essence of nonfiction branding, from my point of view, is know who you are so you can be it. And it sounds like you knew who you were in third grade, and you've been being it ever since.
Well, I think I've gone through iterations of that too, especially with launching a business, because I remember like when I first started going to networking events, feeling like I was this like 15-year-old, you know, back in this like awkward, acne-filled what's going on in my life, trying to figure out how to celebrate who I am without scaring people away. And there is a fine balance, and making sure that I also incorporate like not only my crazy cheeseball self, which is definitely a part of who I am, but incorporate like the smarts and the real like hardcore value that I have to offer, that it's not just all about like, come hang out with me. It's like, no, I'm going to give you strategies that are really going to work. And that was a fine line to make sure that I'm incorporating that into my brand with what I wear, with how I speak about things, with not always being like, oh my gosh, blah, 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 right? With making sure that I drop the tone of my voice sometimes and slow down.
You do that?
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
But it's a really good point that you make too, because I have actually had specific people tell me that they have been hesitant about having me at events because they've seen my videos and they're worried that I'm a fake, like put on thing. But what you said, like, but then once they meet me in real life, they're like, oh, this is really her. And that's a fine balance that I've struggled with, or whatever, danced with forever. Like, I remember in high school, I had a boyfriend, we were at like a 7-Eleven. And I went to buy some flavored water or something. And the guy behind the counter was like, oh, I've had this. It's good. And I said, well, it's a good thing I'm buying it then. And my boyfriend looked at me and he was like, what is wrong with you? Like, why are you talking to him like he's in kindergarten? And I was like, that's just the way that I talk to people.
Yeah. Well, and some people aren't going to get it. Yeah. And I'm sure you run into that challenge the same way anybody who's really putting themselves out there does. But obviously that has not stopped you one little bit. And I'm going to guess, and again, I don't know this to be true, but I'm going to guess that for all the people who meet you who don't like you, there are twice as many who do and really appreciate you and then love you. It's like there was you're an old actor, right? So you might know George Bernard Shaw. He was the one who said the opposite of love is not hate. It's not even noticing who you are.
Yeah.
You know, love or hate, like the difference between love and hate. Well, I don't know. You're married. Are you married?
I am married. Yeah.
Then, you know, anyone who's been in a significant relationship knows exactly the fact that that relationship is one side love, the other side hate. And most days it turns up love, right?
Yes, I would say yes.
But anyway, you put yourself out there like a spicy Mexican dish. And not everyone's going to dig that spice, but the ones who love it will travel 50 miles out of the way to go get it because it's that powerful and fun and interesting and away from the norm.
Yes. So you like lukewarm is not going to get you anywhere, right?
Right.
So, or what ends up happening is a lot of people try to be somebody else. And then like, imagine if you're attracting clients who actually want to work with the person you're pretending to be, and then they start working with you and realize it, or you start working with them and you realize like, oh crap, I have to keep pretending to be this fake person this whole time.
Yeah. Well, and nobody can hold that up. Well,
that's exhausting.
Some people can. They're exhausting people to me because, long story short, I was in theater too, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I was a save it for the stage guy. which, you know, I did a lot of improv comedy and stuff. And the worst thing you can do is be in a circle of comics as they try to out-funny each other.
Oh my gosh. It's that when I worked on cruise ships, I would like hide from the comics because half the time the stand-up comedians who would come on, because they would just, it was like a never ending stand-up routine. So with that in mind, I understand that I can maybe be exhausting. So I think there's also something to be said for like the content that I'm doing, but then when I'm doing my coaching calls, I'm not on my coaching call like, okay, let's get, you know, right. There are levels to my personality.
But a key thing of your brand, a key thing of your personality, a key thing that makes Molly Molly is energy and a kind of a heightened level of energy. Here's the thing about energy. It can be big, loud energy, or it can be focused and intense. So I'm guessing that when you work with people, there's the frosting, which is big, loud, and fun, but the cake is very intense and focused.
That is like a really good, you're really good at this.
The frosting cake thing, I use it all the time because it's true. It's like, yeah, everyone loves cake, but they don't like 100% frosting.
Yeah.
Because, true. You know, and the cake needs to be solid and firm and all
and I
that
think
stuff.
That's like what I was talking about too earlier with it. You're going to get the like confidence and the fun and all of that. But then we have like hardcore actual systems. Like one of our clients, when they started working with us, was doing $15,000 a month. And then they hit 62,000 using these strategies a month, right? So there's actual substance and meat behind it. It's not just a bunch of fluff. So that's like a really good, really good point. And I will say there are two specific times I can think of when people have sent me messages that are like, did you actually just say that to me?
Yeah.
Right. And not that they had like curse words in them or that they were like catty and mean, that they were really like pinpointed as to the thing that I was doing that was bothering them so much. But one of them was someone who actually purchased our course. And after she purchased it, she sent me a message and said, I almost didn't join. Would you like to know why? I wrote her back and I said, yeah, I would love to. I'm always, you know, thank you for asking, but I'd love feedback. And she said that the summation of it was that she couldn't handle the grimaces that I make while I'm talking, but the content was so good that she like puts up with it. So she uses a book to put in front of my face so she doesn't have to look at me while I do my videos.
You know, maybe you could have the prepared bag performer or something like that, where you just put a sack over your head. Oh my gosh. I just don't like your face.
She was like, and I get it, because I do have a very like over-expressive face. So like, and I make like weird, I'm not a good poker face, right? Like I give away what I'm talking about, but she was like, it makes me crazy. So I just cover you up with a book.
It's nice that she stuck around for the content. She wants the cake, but not the frosting.
See, and you can choose.
I'm telling you, the frosting's delightful.
So but it's funny how those things stay in our mind. And then like the hundreds of positive, I mean, we had like 250 or something positive reviews on our business page of people saying amazing things. So it's like our brain clings to those. We remember those little stinky negative ones when really we should be reminding ourselves of the 250 positive comments, you know?
Yeah, I'm older than you. I'm scratching my gray beard. And I will tell you, age burns that out of you.
Ooh.
Remember in high school where if one person didn't like you, your day was ruined when everyone else did?
Yeah.
You get old enough, it's like, you know what? I don't have time for you anymore. And without going into painful detail, I recently had a significant relationship that I had, professional relationship, fall apart because of a bad joke I made. And I did not intend anything, but a bad word choice flipped a switch. And I'm like, oh man, well, if we can't get over that, then good that relationship's over, because
you know now.
My Lord. This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus. So what do you got going on now that's kind of forward-leaning Molly Mahoney? What's at the cutting edge of the Mahoney universe?
Yeah, so one big thing is that we moved into a crazy new space and we're turning the master bedroom into a studio so I can actually have people here for VIP days in person where we can record your videos together.
Wow. So it's going to be all tricked out with lights
and it's totally
camera
cool.
Tripod setups and all that stuff.
Yep. This has actually been a huge thing that I've talked about in the past, is that the fact that my studio before was like this big and all of my videos were in this little corner, you know, right? You couldn't even open the door to get in. So right. It's possible. I'm super big about the fact that you don't need crazy tech stuff to be able to, you know, we did over $500,000 in collected revenue in our second year of focusing on Facebook Live. Like, you don't need fancy tech stuff. You can just use your phone. And I think that a lot of people would like to be able to feel more professional, whatever, have a different backdrops, different things like that, and have somebody there helping them to actually coach them through the videos that they're doing, whether they're live or pre-recorded. So now we have, I'm here right now. We just moved in. There are literally boxes everywhere. So there's a wall over there that has space for, we're going to be able to do 3 or 4 different sets in one wall. Like, wow. Literally 3, if I'm being realistic. So 3 different sets. So we can move between the different sets. OMG. So stoked about it. So we're going to have our first retreat for our glam clients. Everyone's going to come here in March, and then we're going to keep adding some VIP opportunities for either workshops with like 8 people or something like that, and then one-on-one opportunities too.
Wow, that's crazy. So you're still doubling down on your in-person, hands-on, I'm there in the room with you breathing business. You aren't just strictly digital, I'll meet you online at all.
Yeah, so that's, we've kind of, you know, we really focused on the online thing, but, and I love this about you as well, back to the fact that we met at Social Media Marketing World, right? Is that even though we're using messenger bots and all of this automated stuff, we're really clear about the fact that it's the human, the one-on-one human connection that makes all the difference. So it starts with a Facebook Live, which is really just having a one-on-one conversation. We automate that stuff, and then we come back to the one-on-one connection and what we deliver. So our coaching programs, you know, are, we have things that are evergreen, like courses and stuff, but we always include some sort of live element to it, whether it's on Zoom or whatever. And now last year we had our first ever live event called Glam Live, and it was so awesome. So we're looking to do more of that this year. So we're kind of like going back to more of what I was doing in the beginning, which was coaching one-on-one.
Well, that's very cool, because I could not see you being hermetically sealed in a studio just doing videos every other day or something, because so much of your energy and verve and everything else is strictly, you got to be in the same room, breathing the same air, and just feeling that battery just charging off at you in a really great way.
And I think I can spot things in people too. Like, there's exercises, which we realized at this event, even though I knew this, I kind of had built so much up about our automation and our bots and all that kind of stuff that I had forgotten like my real superpower. And it was awesome. We had like 20 people outside, maybe 30 people outside doing these exercises, like using our, you know, our actual instrument, which is ourself. People think that confidence on camera is something that you're just innately born with, but there's actually, like, I've studied this stuff since I was a little kid.
Right. It's easy for people like you and me to take it for granted that, well, yeah, you get up on stage, you start talking. Okay. The number one fear most human beings have is public speaking.
Yes.
Do you ever get nerves when it comes to public speaking?
So actually just today, I was doing a Facebook Live, which is public speaking, just from your living room or whatever, your chair. And we started this new repurposing system that is so killer. And what I do is at the end of every video, I do this thing called a speedy recap. So I clap so that I can easily find that spot in my video so I can go back and edit it, right? Because the sound spikes. And then I literally, while everyone's watching live, I basically do a pre-recorded version of our Facebook Live that I can then crop and put on YouTube or crop and put on LinkedIn. So oftentimes I'll do the speedy recap, but we weren't actually doing anything with it. But now the speedy recap has higher stakes because I'm going to use it on YouTube and I'm going to use it on LinkedIn. So we had, I don't know, 45 people with us at the end of the video today. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do the speedy recap. And then I told them, I said, I'm actually going to use this as a pre-recorded video for YouTube. But if you go watch this video today, I couldn't get started. Every time I went to do it, I was like, wait, I don't want that to be the intro. I'm like, I kept
right,
saying,
right.
Which I don't do very often, but every now and then when the stakes are high enough, yeah, it happened.
There's a difference because that's a mechanical, I didn't want to say it that way, as opposed to, I don't do this.
Yeah, well, but I can tell you that the reason that was happening is because I had butterflies.
Okay, good.
So because it was like a different higher stakes. And I mean, when I'm going to speak now, luckily a lot of the content that I do in person, when I speak on stage, is stuff that I've talked about a bunch of other places. So, and all of the Facebook Lives that I do has seriously helped me to do things like this. Cause I know that I have enough content in my head that has actually come out of my mouth before. So I'm not as likely to trip up on my words. I have really clear methods for recovering when I do trip up on my words. And when I say, right, I have ways to recover from that.
And by the way, I'll have to leave that in, because normally I cut all the ums out.
But and when you're doing Facebook Lives, you can't cut the ums out. They're all there. Right. So it forces you to get to polish those skills. So I'm much more confident now when speaking in front of audiences, because I have those little sound bites nailed and I can tie them together.
And that's such a huge tip or hint for anybody who might be listening. If you don't think you're good, you're probably right, because you haven't done it enough. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, the first time I did my first podcast series, the first 10 probably sounded like absolute crap, because I was, and then I didn't know how to get the EQ right and processing. Well, guess what? Okay, so the first 10 are bad. The next
are those still? Do you have those still up there?
Yeah. It's the Rotoma podcast is the first podcast I did, which is the audio companion to the book that I wrote called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. You can still listen to the first season, which it's the only season, but it goes through the book one section at a time. So not in order. It jumps all over the book. But yeah, you can listen to the first one and go, okay, you're using a little too much truncate silence. Truncate silence is a thing where the program will listen for gaps that are too long and then shorten them. Oh. And you can set it so that it's like, so let's say I ask you a question and you have to think about it for 20 seconds. I'm not going to have 20 seconds of dead air.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut it down to 1 second of dead air, just enough to give a pause so that you
can, like a jump cut almost.
Yeah, it is. But when you're doing audio, it sounds seamless, because 20 seconds of dead air is just 20 seconds of that you can make 19 go away. But at the beginning, I did too much of that. So it was like, I'm talking like this, you're talking like this, I'm talking like this, you're talking like this, talking, you know, and it sounds like a bad cartoon or something. But, you know, you got
to
learn.
I love being able to go back and look at those old things. Like, I've left all my old videos from when I was teaching voice lessons, and all that stuff is still there. And for people to see the change of, like, even just this set that I was using, right? Like, so to see that transition is totally, I love stuff.
Well, and I think it's absolutely legitimate if you're a teacher, because people can see where you started.
Totally.
And see where you are now and say, oh, I see. You can be pretty
bad.
And over time get better. And, you know, obviously you get so much engagement with video on digital. Do you do podcasts?
So I have two podcasts. One is one that I had when I first launched my business coaching performers, called the Prepared Performer Podcast. It was a video podcast, which I think was a bad idea, because then it's like hard to actually watch in its entirety unless you're actually watching videos. Like, I uploaded it as videos, which was kind of weird. And then those are mostly interviews. And then I also have a podcast called the Elevate Your Awesome Podcast. And that is just repurposed Facebook Lives. So we would download my Facebook Lives. I had someone who did the audio mixing and all of that. And we would splice in me saying, hey, if you're hearing me asking for comments and you're having lots of FOMO because you can't actually comment on a podcast, that means you need to be watching this on Facebook. So we did that for a while. But honestly, it was like, I wasn't focusing on it. So we've paused it for a little bit. I am looking to launch a new podcast that's about standing for joy. We had a video series called The Joyful Journey, how, like, you've dealt with disasters in your business that have ended up being the most awesome, magical thing to happen. So maybe someday.
That's cool. And the cool thing about that from my point of view is you do video really, really well. You embrace that like crazy. Audio only, maybe it's not your jam. That's okay, because you do you. And if that you do you is on video, that's great. And that should, again, listeners, are you paying attention? You don't have to be on video if you really, really don't want to be. But you've got a voice and you need to share that voice via whatever venue you can. And I'll tell you, the video and the audio are really killing it right now, because it's not like the written word has gone away. And some people are saying that blogging is coming back.
Yeah, or like long form Facebook posts.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Right. But whatever it is, get your voice out there, because if you present yourself and prove yourself and demonstrate yourself to other people, they'll now know how to think about you, understand what you do, how you do it, and how it can apply to them or other people who you know who might be needing those services. And that's how you build the type of personal brand awareness online that can turn you into an entire universe of industries called the prepared performer. So let me ask you a very quick question about when you went from Molly alone to Molly and others in your business.
Yeah. So it was it seemed like an eternity of a journey to figure out the perfect exact team. I am obsessed with our team right now. I started by first just hiring someone for a few hours a week. And I had tried different like VAs, someone had recommended somebody overseas, like different stuff like that. And for me, what I needed to do was find someone who actually knew me and got me and my voice. So I hired a fellow performer actually, who was great at pretending to be me, which is simple social media posts, nothing crazy. No one really pretends to be me, but she understood my voice. So for me to find a friend to help out just a few hours a week was the best thing for me at first. From there, we now have Kelly, who was one of my clients, and she was launching a business for the first time. She had gotten the strategies of messenger bots and video down really well, but she was kind of having a hard time really having it take off business-wise. She was looking to coach moms. And I said to her, like, what's really important to you about this? Like, what's the thing that you really want to do? And she said, I just want to leave one of my part-time jobs. She was a teacher. I want to leave that job and be able to bring in the same income to be able to do it from home. And I said, is this about your business or would you be okay to do it as a part of ours? And so she was like, oh my gosh, I would be obsessed if I could join your business. So now she's one of our main coaches. She builds bots as part of our digital agency that we have. And that was like a game changer because she was one of my clients. So she knew all of the methods that I was teaching. And now she's one of our biggest, greatest assets. The other thing is that Todd Herman gave me a tip. I was looking for a virtual assistant, like an executive assistant was what I thought I needed. And Todd Herman looked at my whole structure and he was like, you don't need an executive assistant. You need a project manager. And recognizing project manager, was huge because we were building this agency out and Kelly and I were managing so many things on our own. And just having an executive assistant to help me with things like my calendar and stuff was not going to solve the project management piece. So he said, find somebody who is not in the online space. So they're not going to be someone who's already building their own business, which is usually where I turned to. And then we had people who were launching things, working for us and launching things that were similar, and it got weird. So it turned out Easter morning, I was sitting at the breakfast table and we had had an issue with somebody, a client, we had taken on too much work and it was Sunday morning and I was hiding in the bathroom working.
Yeah.
On Easter morning, when I got back to the table and I was like, ugh. We have this stuff. I need a project manager. And Elizabeth, my sister-in-law, who was getting ready to marry my brother, was like, I would love to help you with that if you need help in that space. And she had worked with Ralph Lauren, Sam Edelman, all of these national brands, and had recently quit because the commute was too much for her. So she wasn't sure what she was going to do. I hired her that morning at the brunch table. And it's been absolute game changer having her as the one to manage those task management things for us. So,
wow. So from absolute dead standing start to where you are now, how long did it take you to build the Molly Mahoney universe?
We technically launched it in 2013, which is when I was a vocal coach. So it's the same website. You'll find like weird musical theater blog posts that get a lot of traction. But if I hadn't launched that, I wouldn't have learned everything that I learned in building a business and learned to have this big pivot. Because we had a course launch called Prepared Performer Profits on how to build a business as a creative performer. That did really good in the pilot and then totally failed when I went full force with the launch. And that disaster, we pivoted and switched. So we started coaching business owners and took the same website. I was still teaching voice lessons and business owners at the same time. And then slowly the voice lesson thing just dropped off. And now we only support business owners and have this digital marketing side. So that was 2013 until now it's 2019. So that many years. We're almost on our sixth year, which is totally crazy. April will be sixth year of launching.
Well, congratulations. And again, I think I've gushed enough about who you are, how you do things, and why people should follow you. But I do want to remind people that I'm talking with Molly Mahoney of thepreparedperformer.com. Where are you located in California?
In Anaheim, so right by Disneyland.
That makes sense.
Yeah, totally. I grew up with Mickey Mouse, so I'm really just...
Yeah, well, that's really cool. I don't want this to sound bad.
Okay.
But there's a whole lot more of your types out there than there are here in Madison, Wisconsin, or the upper Midwest. So when you say Pat Flynn, when you say Michael Stelzner, when you say Amy Porterfield, all that, the Southern California is a hotbed for that type of, Chris Ducker would call the youpreneur. businesses or individuals who are taking their personal brands and finding a way to create personal industries out of that personal brand. So that's fantastic. But again, this is me talking to the people who might not be in that hotbed of that activity. You can still learn a ton by following the Molly Mahoneys, the Chris Duckers, the Pat Flynn's, et cetera. Can you give a couple of recommendations of people who are really doing a fantastic job doing similar things to what you're doing in terms of building their brands into viable businesses?
Yes. And I'll lead with someone who lives almost in Wisconsin, in Minnesota. So Rachel Peterson is one of my favorite humans on the planet. And she has a community called Social Media United, where she teaches people to be social media managers. And I think there's about 1,000 members in there, which is so awesome. She's hit the 2-comma club with ClickFunnels. And then also she has an agency. She teaches loads about all of this. I love her. And like I said, she's in the Midwest. My husband's from Wisconsin. I don't know if we've talked about
that. Oh, nice. No, I don't think so.
And we actually met in Fort Atkinson, right in between Madison and Milwaukee.
Did you perform at the Fireside?
That is where we met.
Oh my God. What show?
I did 7 shows at the Fireside.
So oh my gosh.
I spent so much time there. That was like it was like 3 years almost in Wisconsin. But the show that we met on, my husband and I, was called Hollywood Sings. It was a movie musical review. And the Fireside, have you been there?
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, so cool. So the Fireside has this weird hydraulic lift in the middle of the theater. In the middle of the stage. It's in the round. It's a 700 seat dinner theater in the round. And then it has this hydraulic lift. So my husband and the rest of the band was in the middle of this. Did you ever see a band show there?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So in the middle of winter, when people are not wanting to come to Fort Atkinson, they have this band show because people go crazy for it and they pack the place. So it's super cool. But so I did that. I did Fiddler on the Roof, 42nd Street. Evita was my first show there, and lots of reviews. But yeah, it was super awesome.
Wow. Yeah. Because Fort Atkinson is literally just down the road from me, about, I don't know, 60 miles or something.
I love it. So yeah, so we still go back to Wisconsin. We're in Wisconsin all the time. So that's where his family is. So Rachel's in Minnesota. She's amazing to follow. I know we haven't mentioned her yet today, but Mari Smith just is like the most amazing human ever. So Mari Smith is the queen of Facebook. She's talk about going all in on one platform. She is like the master. And she's just been such an awesome mentor to me, human to human person, where you would think that someone of her stature or clout would be kind of above reaching out to real individual humans. And it's such the opposite. So she's such an example of that.
And that's Mari Smith, M-A-R-I.
Yeah, thank you.
S-M-I-T-H.
Yes.
Yes.
I know, and her accent at first, I remember I was like, where is she from? But it's like a Scottish Canadian accent. She's a mix between the two. So
nice.
I love her. And yeah, Adam Urbanski. Let's give Adam Urbanski a shout out too. Do you know Adam Urbanski?
No, I don't.
Okay, so he's my personal business coach. He has an awesome Facebook group called The Fastest Path to Cash. And sometimes I think he's really the internet's best kept secret. He has been a mentor to people like Mari Smith, Amy Porterfield. A lot of them have gone through his programs. And don't let him listen to this part of the podcast, but he's really honestly a genius. He cares so much about the people that he's working with. And he'll like yell at you in his Polish accent, which we all like. Because then he's like, no, go do this. Moly, 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 moly. He has been around forever when it comes to online marketing, and he stays on top of what's happening going forward. So yeah, follow him.
Thank you so much for spending so much time with me and with this audience. Again, I'm DP Knuten with the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. I invite you to join the Nonfiction Brandversity free Facebook group. Just ask to join and you are in. And I am speaking with the lovely, the talented, the incredibly glamorous
Molly Mahoney.
And hopefully you'll come back on the podcast and maybe post a social media marketing world to do a recap show or something like that.
Yeah, I would love that. That'd be awesome.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Molly. I'm DP Knuten for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.